I've been talking to Pat some this week about just so much I've appreciated what he shared the last couple weeks about the kingdom. And I even listened to one of the messages a couple times from online. I just think there's really, really important stuff there for us to settle into and to see clearly and to think in terms of. And so we were talking Friday afternoon. He said, well, you know, if you want, you can share some thoughts from the kingdom. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll grab that opportunity. And so I'm going to just, you know, I don't know, I'll probably share some things the same and some things that are haven't yet been shared. But I'm feeling a little, I think yesterday I came down with that. What I'm thinking is a summer cold, so I'm feeling a little low energy. So I'm just going to just sit here and relax while I share these thoughts. But I think we all sense there's just a need to be clearer and clearer on what's going on in the world, in our world. God has given us that clarity in His Word, in His truth. But it does take a while to have all those pieces fall together. And I think what I want to do today is I want to just share some thoughts from the perspective of the fact that what defines who we are in one way is that we are people who've come to the conclusion that there are two kingdoms. That there is another world, there is another reality, and we would have to admit that in many measures, not totally, but in many measures, it's a reality we don't get to see, we don't get to observe directly, but nonetheless, though we don't get to see it, we have come to the conclusion that it's the reality of the world we live in. That's pretty wild. And the problem with us coming to church every Sunday is that all of this can become pretty familiar and almost take on an aura of being somewhat trite. Okay? And I think we just need to back up and go, guys, you believe something utterly crazy. I mean, if you're right, it is the most important thing that any human being could ever know. But if you're not right, you're crazy. You believe there's this whole other dimension of truth that's going to affect your eternity and all these, and this guy who died a couple thousand years ago was really the creator of the universe. And for us to say, yes, I believe that, puts us in a really different category. And I want to talk even a little bit about how do we get there and how do we grow into that as we walk through this. And I want to share also that it's an okay thing to ask questions about every once in a while. For me now, I could not believe in God. If anybody, you know, says to me they don't believe in God, I just smile. And my brain just kind of short circuits and I go, I just cannot imagine being in that place of ignorance. I know there's a God. And I know that the Bible is true. Because all these things have come together for me after 40 years of asking questions and pursuing things. But I remember, and for many of you who are younger, this is no doubt where you're at. I remember times I'd sit and I'd go, wow, is this stuff even true? Is there a God? Is this real? And it's good to ask those questions and be in that place because that gives us somewhat of an acknowledgement of what we believe is so incredible, so amazing, so wild, so crazy that we should have those moments as the pieces come together day after day, year after year, until finally those pieces come to a place where we go, this is the world I live in. But even though I had moments like that as I lived out my Christian life, I still pursued and lived as a Christian, and I walked through questions, and that's where we all are. You show up and you go, okay, I'm here, I'm trying to walk in this. And I guess what I want to do is share things that probably all of it is familiar, but here's where I think we need to be at. I think what happens is when you learn something for the first time, it's really exciting. And then you hear it for the second time, it's interesting. And then you hear it for the third time, it's like, I think I heard that. But when you hear it for the 100th time, it rolls into your mind and becomes the way you see the world. I think the challenge for many Christians today is we've heard it for the third time, for the fourth time, but what we hear mostly is we hear all the stuff coming in from the world. And so we know these Christian truths, and we know that they're, you know, they're big and important in some ways, but we haven't heard them enough that they've wired into our brain. We go, that's how I see the world. And if we want to grow strong in our faith, we're, I think, going to have to make the decision that we say, I am going to lock into this until it becomes what I think and breathe and know. And that's one of the advantages of getting older. You've been over it so many times. If you're faithful to pursue it, it gets wired in there. You know, like a oak handrail that when it's new, maybe it's rough and like you just cut a piece open, but if it's been there 50, 70, you get over these old buildings and just smooth as glass because it's just been gone over so many times. Is your faith that way? And of course, for most of us, no, it's not. But are we moving that way? And so what we need to do is we need to go over and over again in what is true, what is true. First ask yourself, is this true? I think it's really true. Well, then you better immerse in it. Because the world is going to flood you with all kinds of other thoughts, all kinds of other thoughts, all kinds of other values, all kinds of other perspectives. And God has already told you, faith comes by hearing. So whatever you hear the most, that's what you're going to believe. You listen to the world's input over and over and over, you know what's going to happen? That you're going to believe it. Why? Because God made you to believe it. Because God made you so that faith comes by hearing. So when you decide something's true, you better make the choice to hear that a lot. Because that's where your faith is going to be built. It's going to be built around what you hear a lot. And the world talks a lot. The world just chatters everywhere. And so we need to go, I'm going to renew myself here. I'm going to renew. And these truths. And our trials really help us in that. Because when we get problems, our problems push us to find a solution. And we go and we search for a solution. And then what God says is, okay, am I the solution? Am I the solution? And the only way the solution works is if you immerse in it and if you own it. And so God uses our trials. So, here is who we are and why we live really different lives. And I hate using this analogy. I just hate it. But sometimes I do it, and I don't know of another one. But it's the movie The Matrix. And I remember the first time I saw the movie, I saw it with another pastor guy. He said, we got out, and he said, that's just like the Gospel of John. And I was going, oh. Because I thought, I have never seen something so violent and so bad. But if you haven't seen it, which probably a lot of us have, it's an R-rated movie and there's a lot of violence in it. But the whole point is that people are living what they think is real life and they're just going about, look, everything's looking just like this. But the reality is the robots have taken over the world and everybody is really just living in this virtual world. And they're all just living in this little cocoon of a watery thing, and the robots are sucking the energy out of them, and they're putting thoughts about life in their head that aren't really true, and they're not even living what's really life. And then there's these people that figure it out somehow. I can't remember how that happens. And so these people that figure out how it happens, they have a totally different view of everything. They look at all of this, and they look at these people, and they go, you guys think you're living this life, you're really walking in it, and none of this is real. And they know it. And everything they look at is different. If you believe what the Bible says, you believe in two kingdoms, and all of a sudden it's like everybody's living in the Matrix, and they don't know it. And I do. That's how I think. That's what I understand. That's what I know. That is the framework of the Church of God. Okay, that sounds way deeper than what we often think of when we show up at church like, well, we're just like everybody else, but we do this religious thing on Sundays. We have this belief in God. No. They are living as if there's one kingdom. There is one reality, and it's the reality they are living in. And we look at all of them and we go, you're wrong. You're deceived. You are headed for a profound moment of incredible, I don't know what even to describe it. And you're going to discover you've been living in the matrix. And I know what's true. That's the perspective of the church. That is the accurate, complete view we should have of the world around us. Okay? Because there are two kingdoms. One of them is passing away, and it's the one you see all the time. You're going to see it on TV, on the internet, in the newspaper, when you drive around, when you go shopping. You're looking at the world that's passing away. And there's a world that's going to last forever. And that world that's going to last forever is the whole point of the rest of life. That is what we need to know if we're going to live the Christian life. And that's one of the things I really appreciate that I pulled out of where Pat's been taking us. It's beyond the moment of salvation. It is the greater ending of the story that you and I are going to have to see. Because if we don't, if we slip back into listening to the world and thinking, okay, life is in the matrix, life is in the matrix, and I believe in God, but life is in the matrix, and we make that confusion, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be really disappointed in God because you're going to be thinking he should act like God in the matrix. And he should bring good to you because of your faith in the matrix. Why am I sick? Why is my life so hard? Why doesn't God love me? God goes, oh, you have got to think different. Jesus says, I lived in the matrix. I walked in it as a believer in two kingdoms. And the matrix made me a man acquainted with sorrows and full of grief. And I died there. And now I rule the universe. We've got to see both kingdoms, or none of it makes sense. And so many Christians, because we've come out of a Christian culture, because we've come out of where the church is an institution, we thought, well, no, it belongs here, it belongs here, it belongs here. And in the deepest sense, it does not belong here. Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. And we live in a place that is not his kingdom because our hope is entering into the fullness of that kingdom in another day. And that's why he did what he did. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And so you and I have to be really careful. Well, God, but you love me. Why is my life like this? Why is my life like this? And God says, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that this world keeps rolling its garbage into you. And all the sin and all the evil, it just keeps rolling into your life. But he says, it is not yet time for me to come back. And it will keep rolling into life after life after life after life until I return. And the eternal kingdom starts. And he weeps at all the things that one day he will come in wrath about. And we need to have that perspective. So, I want to share a few thoughts about this kingdom. The passing kingdom. And I don't know how many of these are going to be, whether my words are big enough here. But of course, the first thing is just that it's passing away, and that when we look at our world, we got to remember: okay, there is nothing transcendent here. This is all going away. It might be 100 years, it might be 1,000 years, it might be 10 years, but everything I see is temporary. This is a Dixie cup world. God is going to wad it up, throw it away, and bring what's good. And that's what he tells us over and over. Another really important thing is that its citizens are being decimated and destroyed by sin. Do you see that? Do you know that? I was just with some believers the other day, and they were talking about outreach with their church, and they were kind of struggling because they realized they had a lot of opportunities, but they're around these people that, you know, they're in a place where life really seems to be working, and everybody's excited and happy, and it's prosperous and cool, and what are those guys that ride the fixie bikes?
Hipsters.
Yeah, I can't remember the word. I'm definitely not of this world. So, you know, it's that world where everything's cool and everybody's got their stuff, and they feel kind of intimidated. Sort of like the Israelites did when they were going into the Promised Land, and they looked at all the guys and went, oh, the land's great, but they're like giants, and we're grasshoppers in their sight, and we feel so insecure because, oh, they're so powerful and big. And so we just stopped, and we said, let's just think this through. In the world around you, how many of those people do you think are involved in immorality? Oh, that's really common. Honestly, a lot of us have been there. What does immorality do to your soul? What does immorality do to your identity? How many women, by the time they're 25, their identity is utterly decimated and shredded? And they are seeing counselors, or they are hiding in their work, or they are just a shell. And it's happening everywhere. The people around you are not giants, they are being shredded. How many of them are overwhelmed with debt? We know that. Many of us in the pressure of debt, because we can struggle with that. But there's a lot of weight there. There's a lot of crushing stuff there. The world is absolutely full of that. They're all just being drawn into it like a piper, just piping them down this road. How many of them have no basis for any sense of identity other than outside of what they can get from other people? What kind of insecurity is that producing? When you look out at the world, you realize these guys, man, they are being like lambs led to the slaughter. Do you look at the world that way? Like, you guys, it's not going to work. You're not going to do it. It's going to shred you. You are going to be so destroyed. That's where this kingdom takes people. And we need to not look at them and go, wow, you're so cool, man. Your clothes, you got just the right clothes on. No. I don't know for sure about you, but I know about your world, and it probably relates to you as well, and I am so sorry in where this world's taking you. Do we see our world that way? Or do you just see the facade on the outside? Jesus could look at them and said he saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, because he didn't see the facade. He saw right through it. That kingdom will kill you. And it's doing it in life after life after life at an ever-accelerating rate. We need to see our world that way. It doesn't work. Its citizens have no understanding of their true identity or even what it means to be human. What does the world tell us? Oh, your goal is to be a consumer. Well, you're supposed to be selfish. Just get what you want. Jesus said, hey, it's more blessed to give than receive. When you turn to selfishness, you turn to immaturity. That is not what you're created to be. God created human life to be producers. We are created to bring good into the world. We are created to take resources and bring good. We are created to be responsible and to be strong. And the whole world is shaping people to be empty and selfish and nothing. What do you think that does to the human soul? That is not what humanity is. Today, people are so confused about their humanity, they can't even tell if they are male or female. And I mean that as a serious thing. I don't know how many times in the history of the world culture has been there. Not very many. this kingdom is utterly destroying people. It's not your kingdom. It's another one, and we need to see it that way. This kingdom is led by a spirit in rebellion against God. That's part of the reason all this crazy stuff's happening. Jesus said the devil is the prince of this world. It says in 1 John that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Imagine that. The most powerful created force in the world wants to kill you. And he's a deceiver and he's a liar. And this is his kingdom, this passing kingdom. This is his. When he said to Jesus, you know, he's tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And he says, listen, all this has been given to me. And I can give it to anybody I want. Jesus didn't go, oh, no, that's not true at all. That's not true. Oh, Jesus, oh, it is true. It is yours. It's yours. And you could give it to me if I bow down. We need to take the reality of that in. That what's guiding the craziness of our world, sometimes you look at it and you go, now, how could it be any worse? You know, I mean, there's 10 options here and it's in the worst one. Why is it like that? Over and over and over again, why do things just continually slide in the most destructive place? I mean, we aren't that bad, and I don't think we are that bad. We are people in the image of God who are fallen, who are full of our flesh. We are sinful. We are selfish. But we are being led. And that kingdom is owned by Satan. That's what Jesus told us. So when we look out the world and we go, wow, I kind of like stuff there. You know, there's things in there. And by the way, it is God's creation. And there's good stuff in the world. And it says that he's given us all things for our enjoyment. And we have to be careful. Everything's complicated. But when you're attracted to the world, understand who is painting that picture that you're attracted to. We need to go, hey, no. And I'm not going to let my affections go down that road. No, that's not where I want my affections to go. Jesus, please help me. Help my affections. It's all so attractive. The candy's so good. Please help my affections go a different way. Those in the kingdom have no encouragement from being united with Christ, no comfort in his love, no fellowship with the Spirit. They're without hope and without God in the world. As Aidan led worship this morning, he started off by saying, you know, because we have comfort in the Spirit, we can do great things for the kingdom. And imagine your life. You know, we're all full of problems. Everybody's got problems. But no matter where you're at in your faith, to some degree, you experience a rock underneath you. To some degree, you experience, well, at least there's a God there. At least there's somebody that loves me or cares for me, or at least that's what they tell me. There's something real there. Imagine having all the problems that you've got, and you are without God and without hope in the world. Whoa. How do they even do it? I couldn't survive without being able to go down, okay, there's still a rock there. There's still something solid there. Some of my circumstances are not good, but there is a good one. One of the circumstances in my life is utterly awesome, and it's more solid than anything else. Oh, thank you, God. They don't have that. That kingdom is without foundation. They live utterly alone. And that kingdom will experience the wrath of God. I don't know if you've ever been mad at God. I sure have. I think if you believe in God, here's how to know if you believe in God. If you've never been mad at God, you don't believe in Him. There's no way you can believe that there's somebody who can change everything and is supposed to take care of you, and you look at the mess in your life and you go, you're not doing it. If you really believe in God, sometimes you're going to get mad at Him. And the reason you get mad at Him is because something's wrong with Him and somebody should do something about it. And you look at God, you should do something. And of course, we don't understand rightly and all that, but that's how our brains, our minds, our hearts work. So, you got problems in your life that you think somebody should do something about, and there's a cause for anger. When it's not addressed the way it seems like it should be addressed, you go, there's just a cause for anger. Okay. One thing that's helpful for me is I back out and I go, okay, there's this problem here. But wow, Lord, there's way more problems in the world. I mean, there's people that have this problem and they have 10 more. Whoa. Those people really have a challenging place. And not only that, there's people that have experienced things so horrific I have never, ever experienced them and probably never will. You guys may have seen in the news this week there was that horrific death. I'm not even talk about it with that 10-year-old girl. And just unimaginable. And then you think that a loving, gracious, kind, holy God watches things like that every day. How much? Think of all over the world. All over the world. What is God going to watch today? And your mind just goes numb. Like, oh, God. And what we think is that deserves anger. That deserves wrath. And God tells us very clearly that day where I say, I will now respond based on what that deserves. That day is coming. And all the things that we think somebody should have been pretty angry and somebody should have done something about this, God says today is the day. And all of the wrath of God against all of the horrific, horrible things that have happened in this world is going to roll into it like a flood. It's going to wash it clean. And only those who are in the covenant we celebrated this morning will escape the overwhelming, destructive power of that wrath. There is a day of wrath coming. And it's coming against that kingdom and all of its deeds and all of its acts. And so when we look at the world around us, we need to be careful. We need to go, okay, God, please help me see clearly. Remember, two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms. And you made this world, but it's fallen, and there's a kingdom now that belongs to somebody else. And I got to be really careful because I am living in somebody else's house and I am living here. And that's why so many things don't make sense. This is the Matrix. But there's another kingdom. And this one is led by Jesus Christ. And what's really, really encouraging, it always will be. No elections. We'll never vote again. I think of all the bad voting I've done, all the poor jobs I've done of researching people that make huge, powerful decisions, I'll never have to vote poorly again. He's going to rule and reign forever. Now, I just went back to see my mom and dad. Dad's 83, mom's 80, they're living on the farm. And there's this, you know, this role reversal is, you know, kind of starting to happen where, wow, we're going to have to care for them. And it's so different than when I was 7 years old. I think of my dad when I was seven. And, oh, man, the world was so different than it is now. We're going somewhere where that role reversal will never happen. Our Father will always be our Father. And our Savior will always be our Savior. And it's experienced now. This kingdom can be experienced right now by us through obedience to Jesus and commitment to His business. And that kingdom is here. Pat shared last week that the kingdom of God is wherever God is king. The kingdom of Jesus is wherever Jesus is king. And so in my life, I can go, Jesus, you're king. And the reason the world's still here, by the way, the reason he hasn't shut down the matrix, pulled the plug on the whole thing, is because he's got something going on here. He's got business here. Jesus said when he was 12 years old, I got to be about my Father's business. He's been about his Father's business for 2,000 years. And he says, I'm inviting my church. And we are here because he's not done. You're here because he's not done. And he did it through his own earthly body, and now he's doing it through us. And so we go, God, what do you got going on? You know, if we help, could this get done sooner? And Jesus said, yeah, you can hasten the day of the Lord's return. So if y'all help, we'll get done sooner. We jump into God's business, and we experience walking with God. That's the Christian life. It's not knowing you're saved. Knowing you're saved is the foundation. The Christian life is helping Jesus in his business. Going, wow, why is this crazy world still here where horrible things happen? Well, it's the reason it's still here because Jesus isn't done yet. Oh, well, let's all help him get done. I want to lay down my life, and I do want to lay down my life, even though I fight the battle of that and all the challenge and stuff, but I want to lay down my life. I want to go, well, I want to help. I want to be involved. I want to be part. God, make me a resource. And that's where the richest life is, and that's where the kingdom life is. And that's what we're invited in. It will one day be the only kingdom where, this is big enough to read, there will be no more mourning or crying or death or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Whoa, now there's only one kingdom, and this is what it is, and you and I are going to live there. And we're going to live there, and all the things that bring pain and sorrow and frustration and confusion into your life, they're all going to be gone. And you're going to show up there, and you're going to look around, and in an instant, you're going to go, this is where I fit. This is where I fit. This is home. This is what I was made for. Oh, that place back there where there was all this mourning and crying and death and pain, I never did feel like I fit there. This is where I fit. The old order of things has passed away. And honestly, I believe this hope of the new kingdom yet to come is what drove the early Christians to follow Christ. And so often in our own lives, we go, okay, what needs to really motivate my life is that I'm loved, I'm saved, it's the cross of Christ, and we go over that, and we go over that, and we go over that. And I think a lot of those guys go, hey guys, that's like looking at your baby pictures over and over. No, no, no. You need to look at the vacation home that's waiting for you at the end. You were a cute baby, that was nice. But here's the point. When this is over, this is where we go. Oh, and it's really true. It's really true. If that's true, then the suffering here can make sense. Jesus suffered. I don't have to have this life make sense in its own circle. God, when I look at this life in its own circle, it just doesn't make any sense. Why am I suffering so much? One of the things that often confused me with reading biographies, it was sort of discouraging. Great men of God, great women of God would suffer more than the average person. God, you're supposed to help them out. But it doesn't seem to be that way. And maybe God's goal is, he just says, no, I know you can do it, and I want to make you really rich. I want to make you really rich. And I know you can do this. I know you've got the faith to walk in it. And this is going to be glory. And maybe that is how we are to view our pain. It seems so wrong now and so unfair when we're trying to help God and he makes it harder. God just says, oh, you just bring this up again in 100 years. We'll talk about it. I'll experience everything I've been created to experience as a human being. Brothers and sisters, heaven's going to be so amazing. Think of all the things you enjoy. You enjoy creating things. You enjoy productive work. I was talking to some guys last night. One of the most fun things for me is to get together with a group of people and do something together. Let's do something great together. Let's build something together. Let's do something incredible together. Yeah, let's all get together and do it. made for that. I'm convinced for all eternity, just like Adam had a job in the garden to expand it, we're going to get together, we're going to do amazing things together, we're going to do it all for the one person, the king, and nobody's going to have their turf, and we're just going to be so, it's going to be so cool. And we're going to do it forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's not just a story, it's really, really true. It's as true as any of it. And to just own that, and to know that. I'll experience, I missed it. Okay, I did the resurrected body one. There's that one. And it'll be a place where I experience perfect love, perfect labor, perfect rest, perfect relationship. So much in your life, you want two things. You want to be loved, and you want to love in a way that it really connects. And there's two things we so often fail at. We aren't loved in the way that really, really touches where we're at on the inside. And when we try to love, it fails. And when you get to the next kingdom, that's all done. It's going to be so amazing. We'll have access to God. Let me just share this one last point. We'll be rewarded for every act of faith expressed in this world. And with this closing thought, I just want to remind us that God's goal is to make us rich. Somehow, your eternity is being created today. I don't think we earn more rewards in heaven. There's no indication of that. There's only one time you're ever going to walk in the dark by faith with God, and that's here. You are creating what you will live with forever right here. Pat shared the analogy that if he knew he could buy Google in 1994 or whatever the IPO was, he'd hawk everything to get it. And that's exactly what God says to us. He says, hey, as much as you believe me, as much as you think this is true, I want you to understand that there is a wealth that's true wealth that you will really want, that you will really enjoy, that you will really be blessed by, and I will give you as much of it as you can walk in faith in this world. Every act for me, every cup of cold water, every choice to not get bitter but to rejoice, every act to be thankful, every single moment God says, I saw that, I saw that, I saw that, I saw that, I saw that. And you will see it forever. Forever, you have created something that will glorify me. And forever, I will make note of it. That is the Christian life. Living for that day when all that we've brought Him that has been unrewarded here and makes no sense here, we lay it before Him and He says, well done, good and faithful. Is that clear enough in your mind that you can order your life around it? We need to go over it and over it and over it, because that moment, I am telling you, as certainly as God exists, as certainly as Jesus rose from the dead, you will lay your life before Him, and the only thing you'll want to be in that pile is acts of faith done for Him. Lord, we thank you for the reality of your kingdom, the unseen one. But it's there, and we will lay our life at your feet. It'll be over. There's a day coming for all of us when it's over, and we're just going to lay it at your feet. And the only thing that'll have any sense of value in our own eyes in that moment is what looks good to this man in front of me. What looks good to this man in front of me? And I just pray that you'd help us see it now. The devil so much wants to cloud our thinking. Help us believe in that moment. In Jesus' name.